And, you know, so he was curious about Zen. I didn't have much to tell him, but he had something important to tell me. And he says, what I'm really looking for is a basis, something I can rely on absolutely. And all my searching and looking around is to try to find, what can I depend on? What can I rely on? I'm not going to be young and healthy forever. My life isn't always going to go as I want it to. Is there anything that I can depend on? Anything that I can rely on? And if there is, I want to find out what that thing is. And I've recognized myself in him so much because, of course, I think most of us come to a spiritual practice looking for something like that. And when I think about, you know, my early days in Zen, I went about it, understandably, exactly as I had gone about everything else in my life, which was trying to make things as convenient and comfortable for myself as possible. In other words, I thought the idea, I thought whatever this basis is, it must be some wonderful enlightened state where everything is just beautiful and groovy, and, you know, when bad stuff happens, it doesn't bother you at all, because, you know, you're sort of above it. You've arrived. And I sort of think about this, you know, as being one of the, these people. I knew a guy like this who was really, really into having a great kitchen. You know, he had to have the latest gadgets and, the, you know, the top-of-the-line pans from the most trendy cooking company and everything beautiful and just so. And he had arranged it. He didn't cook much in it. And, you know, when I think of my own efforts to create this wonderful spiritual kitchen, I really hadn't had the experience of having the rug pulled out from under me yet. I was quite young, not in a real serious way. And, you know, so just to continue with the metaphor, it's like, you know, having this wonderful kitchen with all the gadgets and the cookware and everything, and then someone says, "Wow, great kitchen! Okay, we're not cooking now. We need to for you to build us 20 outhouses now." Now, what? But my beautiful kitchen is. It's just a bunch of garbage that I've accumulated. It's not relevant to the needs of this moment. Another way this comes up, you know, is when we think about enlightenment. If you think about enlightenment being our beautiful kitchen, and we think of it as being peaceful and still. And when I think of that sort of construction, I think of a Greek myth, the myth of Narcissus, who was a very well-born and very, very handsome young man, apparently so handsome that both men and women almost instantly fell in love with him, and He was given a prophecy, you're going to have just a great life, but never, never look at your own reflection. But of course, as luck would have it, Narcissus came upon a beautiful pool in the woods of calm, still water, just perfect still water. And he gazed into it, and he was reflected back to himself perfectly in all his loveliness and glory, just the way he could have wanted it. And of course, when things are that perfect, there's no reason to ever move or stir yourself again. And so he just kept gazing into that lovely, still, clear water and eventually starved to death and was turned by the gods into a flower that bears his name to this day. So we can draw a contrast between Narcissus and Dongshan Liangzhi, who wrote, at least our study text is attributed to him. And if you remember Shinryu's sensei's talk, he talked about his teacher saying just this is it. And just to continue with the story, a monk some years into Dongshan's teaching career asked him, what did your teacher mean when he told you just this is it? And Dongshan said, at the time, I nearly misunderstood my teacher. Because as the story goes, that was not the moment that Dongshan attained his great enlightenment, when he heard just this is it. He was leaving the monastery, he was leaving his teacher, and this phrase really troubled him. He left in perplexity. He left in dissatisfaction and frustration. And he didn't make the mistake of misunderstanding. He nearly misunderstood his teacher, perhaps to be saying something like, well, it is what it is, you know. It is what it is, man. No, he didn't attach to the words. The meaning is not in the words, but it responds to the inquiring impulse. He kept the inquiring impulse and was walking along, and unlike Narcissus, he didn't come to a clear, calm pool. He came to a turbid, rapidly flowing stream. Sort of reminds me of that year, a couple of years ago, when we were making our Oban boats, and this was maybe 3-4 years ago, and it had just been raining the dickens. And, you know, we usually like to float the boats on have them float away nicely and peacefully into the distance. This year, as soon as Roshi put the boats in the water, they were gone. They were out of sight. And I kind of think that the stream Dongshan looked into was like that. There was no calmness, no peace, nothing to get hold of, just rapid motion. And he beheld his own image in that rapidly flowing water, and he finally got it. So this is why in Zen we really, really appreciate, or at least eventually come to appreciate, having the rug pulled out from under us. I mean, sometimes life takes care of it all on its own. You know, something happens that we can't just wish away or finesse. Sickness, old age, and death, disease, the death or disappearance of people we love, catastrophes of one sort or another. Life takes care of pulling the rug out sooner or later. But just in case life isn't really doing its stuff, we have Zen teachers who, every time we feel we've reached a place of cool, calm water, wow, okay, I see it. I really get it. It's just this, that, no, it isn't what it is. And so on. Having the rug pulled out from under us, even though we can appreciate it, if it's really a good rug pulling, it never feels good at the time. It's incredibly traumatic. And the rug can be pulled out in our personal lives, or it can be pulled out in the politics of our country. Anything that tells us, wait a minute, this beautiful kitchen that you've put together really quite doesn't cut it in this world of upheaval and constant change. So we can look back in of the French army, and they were pushed back and back and back and back until the whole British expeditionary force in France was pushed back onto a beach called Dunkirk, and but they were not destroyed. Miraculously, everyone who owned a boat in Great Britain sailed to that beach and took what they could. The whole country got together and evacuated that beach. And this was another retreat that Miyoko talked about, a different kind of retreat, not a strategic retreat, but an outright defeat. And yet, this was one of those terrible defeats that in the rosy glow of history can come to seem more glorious than some of the brightest victories. They lived to fight another day. But this was not the way it seemed at the time. The country fell, in Great Britain fell into a state of shock and depression, and this was the way that the atmosphere was summed up in an account at the time. Civilian morale was reported in many areas as zero. One observer claiming that everyone looked suicidal. Only half the population expected Britain to keep fighting. And the feelings of thousands were summed up as, this is not our war. This is the war of the high-up people who use long words and have different feelings. As it happened, Great Britain had a new prime minister. He had become head of the government only a couple of weeks earlier. And he had to address Parliament on the situation, what had befallen in France. And he had to do two things. One, he had to be truthful that the French army was not going to hold out, that the rest of Europe was either going to be in Nazi hands or was going to be neutral, and that Britain was going to be fighting all alone. He had to explain that very clearly. And at the same time, he had to counteract the feeling of paralysis and despair that was threatening to take over the entire company, the country. And this is what he said. I thought it would be nice to share this today at this particular time. He said, even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. So, I mention this historical incident, not to set up another stump. The waters have flowed quite a bit in the last 70 or 80 years. And though we might find resonance in those times, these times are not those times. But from a Buddhist perspective, to me what is important here are two things. Beyond looking at this speech as a piece of brilliant political rhetoric, from a Buddhist perspective, we can look upon it as vow. The setting of an intention, the setting of an intention where people were feeling paralyzed and depressed and despairing and irresolute, the setting of a direction and setting it wholeheartedly with full sincerity, nothing held back, the power of vow. But then, The next day comes, and the next day. There's work to be done. Not glorious work, not soaring work. There are lines to be waited in, ration coupons to be clipped. There's mud to be slogged through. There's death, much death and destruction to be survived and practiced, returning again and again to the naked power of vow. We shall fight. We shall never surrender. So what can we rely on? We certainly can't rely on some mythical state where when the rug is pulled out and all seems lost in chaos, we're not bothered. But we can rely on our intention, our wholehearted sincerity, and we can carry it in to the practice of this moment right now, and then the next moment, and the next. Just this. Dogen Zenji said, if you want to practice thusness, simply be thus. And the treasury will open of itself for you to use as you wish.